This picture, this initiation ceremony, is compared to second birth, to be reborn. Our first birth is from our mother and father, but with all due respect to the moms and dads here, they've done a great service with these youngsters. It's a birth into ignorance. Why ignorance? Because basically, in coming to this material world and taking birth, we've rejected Krishna. And a life of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. For the material world is just the opposite. It's not eternal, it's temporary. It's not full of knowledge, there's a lot of ignorance. And bliss? Yeah. Once in a while. And even that doesn't compare to a kirtan of Padahari Prabhu. Or a lecture of Chaturatma Prabhu. He'll be lecturing soon. And in the spiritual world, just consider, we had a spiritual body in quality with the Lord, not in quantity, but in quality, just like there's the sun and there's the rays of the sun. They're totally different. There's the sun planet and there's the rays, little tiny rays coming like that. But in quality, they're the same. So in the spiritual world, there's Krishna's beautiful form. We just love to describe his, you know, Tribhunga Sundar form, you know, with his flowing hair and his lips red like bimba fruit and his teeth like rows of pearls, and you know, he's playing his venu, and we love to describe his form, but we also have a spiritual form, and we gave that up in exchange for this body. So therefore Prabhupada once compared to the material world to a prison. Like in a prison, there's four walls, right? You know, ideally there's four walls in the prison. So I'm coming to this material world, it's like a prison because you can't get out. Why? Because there's birth, disease, old age, and death. No one can conquer that. You can't conquer over birth, you can't conquer over old age, disease. They come. So it's something like a prison house. And in a prison, what is the situation? In a prison, the prisoners, they have material bodies, or they have, let us say, they have uniforms. So this is our uniform. This is the uniform we get. And nothing to be proud about. But with this second birth, we state our determination to regain our original spiritual form. Like, how do you do that? We're so attached to this body and, you know, a particular family, a particular neighborhood, you know. We have our neighborhood, our country. I'm American, Canadian, Russian, Chinese, Australian. It's very strong. I see so many flags here in America on the front yards. You don't see that everywhere in the world. Very patriotic. We have a very strong bodily identification. How do we revive our original spiritual nature as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And you can see the transformation. Just like Prabhupada said one time, before my disciples came to Krishna consciousness, they were morose, unhappy, they were suffering from depression, they didn't bathe regularly. Sorry, the hippies. They were confused. But now that they have come to Krishna consciousness, and their dhotis and their saris and their kanti mala, their neck beads, and their shining faces, he said, my disciples look just like they've come from Vaikuntha. Just like you're looking at me, but I'm seeing so many of you. You all look like you've come from Vaikuntha. So this is the transformation. It's natural. Krishna consciousness is natural. People think, I have to take up this process. It's so unnatural. I have to give up, you know, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex. That's not natural. I have to dress like this. This isn't natural in American society. I have to speak like this. This is a little uncomfortable. But actually, it's the most natural way of life, because this material world, everything's limited. There's only a tiny amount of souls from the spiritual world living here. The real world, the eternal world, is the spiritual world. This is how people dress, this is how they sing, this is how they eat. So this is natural. So we should think that the process of becoming Krishna conscious is very natural. We shouldn't think it's an austerity, it's difficult, I have to do it. It's very natural. It's just like a very ugly insect is a caterpillar. You think about it, a caterpillar's got 32 legs, and they're all very hairy legs, you know. And he kind of goes along like this, and, you know, like, they might look a little cute. When I was young, I used to collect caterpillars. Anyway, especially monarch caterpillars. But the caterpillar is kind of an ugly creature. But there's a metamorphosis, there's a process where the caterpillar becomes something extremely beautiful. He goes into a type of, I'm not going to say samadhi, it's not the right word, but you get the idea. He goes into a type of meditation, actually, and he makes a cocoon. And in that cocoon, he's in a stage of meditation as higher nature, you could say. And then one day, that cocoon breaks open, and what comes out? Butterfly. A butterfly? Who doesn't think butterflies are not beautiful? By God's grace, they have a little touch of God's mercy. They're beautiful. When I was in the Amazon jungle, it was a terrifying place, but the solace was so many beautiful butterflies. And the butterflies are gigantic. They're like this. And sometimes we'd go up to a particular region near a pond or something, and there'd be so many butterflies, and they were flying around us, and they were landing on us, all these beautiful butterflies. So in the same way, there's a process, a very natural process, of becoming, regaining our original spiritual nature. We sing, we dance, we take prasadam. In this way, we, instead of being caterpillars, we're beautiful butterflies in Krishna's service. So, for that, we need guidance. Prabhupada would sometimes describe Krishna consciousness as a science, the science of the soul. So, science is it can be a complicated thing, but for that science of Krishna consciousness, we have a teacher, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, it's stated, Janame Janame Sabe Pita Marta Paya Krishna Guru Nahi Mili Bhaja Hari E. Everyone gets a mother and father, but if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer the material energy and return back home, back to Godhead by serving the Lord. So, of course, we are indebted to our parents because they conceived us and they welcomed us into the world, and they, in the case of, especially here, all these devotees here were born in the movement. The parents are the best parents. They brought us to the point of these young people taking initiation today. But also we require the spiritual father to guide us from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, and from the material world to the spiritual. Kashishwara Pandit, a very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he writes in his book, Gaudiya Vaishnav Diksha Vidhi. It's one book that I'm going to get translated from the Vrindavan Research Institute. And the first person I'm going to give it to is Chaturatma. It describes this whole initiation process. He writes very beautifully. I was reading. Without guru, one is like a beautiful girl without a husband. The sky without the sun. Eyes without light. And the heart without heartbeats. This is what it's like to be without a guru. Without a guru, one is like a beautiful girl without a husband, the sky without the sun, eyes without light, and a heart without heartbeats. What's a heart without boom, 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 boom? It's like death, actually. Now, just as the material father gives us the opportunity to take birth by planting the seed of life into the womb of our mother, so the spiritual master, he gives us the opportunity for spiritual life by awakening the seed of devotion in the heart of the disciple at the moment of initiation. We often hear in lectures how, you know, Krishna consciousness is not something you have to get from some other place. It's already in your heart. That seed of love for Krishna goes with us birth after birth after birth, but it sits as a dormant seed. It has to be watered. Just like you go to the, you know, in the springtime, we go to the store and we buy seeds to plant in our garden for flowers and fruits and vegetables, etc. Now, those seeds could have been sitting on the shelf for months or even years. They don't manifest. You buy them, you take them home, you plant them in fertile soil, and you water them, and lo and behold, by nature's way, by Krishna's arrangement, in a couple of weeks, you come out in your garden, oh, wow, look, they're coming up. And then you patiently wait, and then they grow, and then some flowers come, and then there's some fruits come, like that. But there has to be that process that ignites, you could say, that seed. So the seed of love within our heart, it has to be watered in order to grow. And what is that watering process? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Not just once, you have to continuously water it. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami gives a beautiful analogy. He said, just like you water the plant. So he said, this plant of devotion, you water it, and it grows, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it breaks through the coverings of the material universe. It breaks into Vaikuntha, but it keeps growing, 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 and it goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, and that seed of devotion, your love for Radha and Krishna, it circles around the lotus feet of Radha Shyam, and it produces the fruits and flowers of love of God. That's our process. Beautiful analogy. So that's why this initiation is so important. The candidates have been chanting, and even if anyone hears the chanting of Hare Krishna, there's some benefit. Like you go on Harinam. Why are we going on Harinam? We're chanting, and by hearing that name, even without wanting to hear it, it goes into the ear, volumes of sinful reactions are washed away. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And if one takes up the chanting, of course, material desires are loosened. But our goal in Krishna consciousness is prema. Of what quality? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world of your absence. This is the stage of Krishna consciousness we want to try to achieve, even within one lifetime. Why not? We go for broke, what do they say? There's many things, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said one time, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. So that's the power of this mantra. But to go back home, back to Godhead, you have to receive the mantra from the spiritual master in the proper disciplic succession, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So that's why this initiation is so important. Yes, we become free from karma. Yes, our material desires are uprooted and thrown to a distant place. But for prema, of the quality Amala Bhakti introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Braj Bhakti, you have to receive the mantra through a bona fide spiritual master. So, oh happy day. From this day on, they've been benefiting from the mantra. But if you want perfection, you have to sit down in this ceremony. And then you get the blessings to chant. So it's our great fortune to come in contact with the spiritual master. And this was another one of Prabhupada's special mercies, that in Vedic culture you would go looking for a spiritual master. Because Prabhupada said one time, every intelligent man and woman should have a bona fide spiritual master. So in Vedic culture, people would go looking for a spiritual master. It would be an intense desire. I have to have a guru. But not in Kali Yuga. Kalo Suta Sambhavan. Everyone's born in a Suta-like mentality. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the mantra. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the mantra of the gladiators. So we don't think about a spiritual teacher. So Prabhupada was so kind, he came looking for us. And he's also empowering his followers to go and seek for others to join this camp of ISKCON. But nevertheless, we should never take it for granted that I'm a devotee. Familiarity breeds contempt. We should never take it for granted. We should consider this one of Prabhupada's special mercy on us, that either as disciples or grand disciples or grand-grand disciples, we all have equal access to Prabhupada's mercy. Just like there's a telephone, there's a electric wire going here. Any point you connect into that wire, you're going to get the full potency of the mercy. It's not that it gets less as it goes further. So in 10,000 years, those who become members of ISKCON, they're going to get the same mercy that Prabhupada's disciples had if they take advantage of it. So we shouldn't think, we shouldn't become familiar and think, oh, I'm a devotee. It's very rare to find a spiritual master. In fact, Chanakya Pandit says, there does not exist a ruby in every mountain, a pearl on the head of every elephant, sadhus in every country, or sandalwood trees in every forest. One of my favorite quotes of Chanakya Pandit. Niti Shastra means logic. But this is not just logic, this is mercy. Brahmanda Brahmatikon Bhagivan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lad Bij. Kaviraj Goswami says, we're wandering from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, from body to body. Somehow the Lord or his representative, they intervene without being asked. Stop your nonsense. What? You're a nonsense. I am? Yes. Sit down, I'll tell you why. And the power of the Guru is he can convince us of the futility of material existence. It's not easy to convince the disciple of the futility of material existence and the positive alternative of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But he does. Thomas. He convinces us, and we take to the process. So we require the help of a spiritual teacher because we're in the prison house of material existence in the uniform of this material body. And so many problems. And when we get that opportunity, we should take to it with full enthusiasm. With the same enthusiasm that we try to enjoy the material world. And people are very determined to enjoy. In the same way, with the same determination, we should immediately take to Krishna consciousness. Just like Rupa Goswami prays in one of his poems, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys in this world, with the same intensity, my Lord, let me fall in love with you. I love that. We all know, I mean, let's be honest, we all know, in this world, a boy wants a girl, and a girl wants a boy, and therefore we have marriage, and they work together. But just think of the potency. As a young boy desires a girl, a young girl desires a boy, with that intensity, let me learn to love you, Krishna. That we have to pray for. Or as Rupa Goswami says in his Padyavali, I am drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool a repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of those who have no shelter, O effulgent moon of mercy, please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. So what does that mean? That the Lord just, like Purusha Shukti, he's got lots of arms and hands, he reaches down here and he picks you up? No. He sends his representative. The disciple sees the spiritual master as a representative of Krishna, therefore offers him the same respect he offers Krishna. It's the spiritual master who delivers us to Krishna. Anyone who wants to remain in the painful condition of material existence is considered foolish or mad. Like in the beginning, people used to call us crazy. These crazy Hare Krishnas, they're dancing in these costumes on the street and singing and this and that, and they have a strange way of life. They're crazy. So Prabhupada took that opportunity to write a little piece called Who is Crazy? And he compared our life to the life of material sense gratification. He made it very obvious. I remember we used to distribute these pamphlets on the streets in Detroit and different places, Who is, you're crazy. Read this book. You're crazy. We've many times said that a Brahmana is one who rises above the mode of ignorance and passion to the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is a stepping stone into Shuddha Sattva, transcendence. So we all want to become Brahmins. It's not that we should have a select few of devotees who are Brahmanas. All of us should become Brahmanas because it's difficult to go to Sutsattva from Rajas or Tamas. You have to live a Brahminical way of life. Prabhupada wrote to one of my godbrothers that Brahmin means that after drinking water, he's so clean, he washes his hands. He wrote that to Sri Govinda. A Brahmin is so clean that after drinking water, he washes his hands. So because we want to become Sutasab, we want to transcend this world altogether, everyone has to become Brahmana. You all have to take the Bhakti Shastra course and exam, not just a few, because it's so important to be clean inside and out, to approach the Supreme Pure. You can't approach the Supreme Pure Krishna if you're contaminated. So we need to wash externally and internally. So everyone should have this on their bucket list. Probably not the way to say it. Everyone should become Brahmana of the caliber of Chaturatma Prabhu. Capable to speak when called upon, able to perform these ceremonies, dedicated to chanting. He's very pukka. Every night, I've known him, every night he takes a shower. Before he takes rest, he puts cream on his feet and he puts his white socks on to go to bed. I don't know why the white socks, but it must be in some shastra somewhere. Because there's two things a Brahmana cannot tolerate. That is uncleanliness and pain. This is Chanakya Pandit. A Brahmana can't tolerate pain. It's not like Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas, they can tolerate. They can go, you chop their arm off, they use the other one. They're tough guys, you know. They're class to protect the innocent. Brahmanas, they're so sensitive to this material nature. They're so, you know, trying to become free from it. They're very sensitive, so they feel the pain. And the other thing that a Brahman can't tolerate is there's no water. A Brahmana always has to live where there's water because he's always doing ajman, he's cleaning himself, he's worshipping the deities, cleansing the temple. So two things a Brahmana can't tolerate, pain and where there's no water. Therefore it says in the Varaha Purana that the killers of Brahmanas, they take birth, the next birth in the desert. If one kills a Brahmana, his next birth, that person who kills, he'll take birth in a desert. It's just an interesting connection there. So we have to rise to that level. We don't want to just tolerate this material world, as we said in our lecture today. We don't want to tolerate. We're sensitive to the pain of this world. We want to transcend it. And being Brahmanas, we're learned. We understand the nature of this world and the alternative of Krishna consciousness. A Brahmana is always sharing his good fortune with others. We're sensitive to the pain of others. So therefore we go out and we preach Krishna consciousness. And we introduce this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So this wonderful science, what would we know without Prabhupada having come to the West? This is our greatest fortune. Therefore the verse that we chose today. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we may accept it as captain of the ship. For those who desire to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of man. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, that the captains of the ship, Prabhupada would give that analogy, the human form of life is like a boat. The spiritual master is the captain of that boat, and the Vedic knowledge, the wisdom, it's the wind that blows the boat over the ocean of material existence safely to the other shore of Vaikuntha, or Goloka Vrindavan. It's a very beautiful analogy. If we don't follow Guru, because Guru also gives us practical advice. Srila Prabhupada was very practical. He knew how to spread a movement in this material world. If we don't follow the Guru in all the practical things we do and the spiritual things we do, we don't follow the Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, we'll follow the Gauru. What's a Gauru? The cow. Of course, cows are lovely animals and they're Krishna's favorite animal. We do go puja, but the cow's still an animal, still in the mode of ignorance. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told a story one time. He said one man got lost somewhere in his travels in India, and he was looking for, you know, a person who knew the territory, a qualified person who could tell him which direction to go. But he came in contact with some person, you know, who didn't really know, but said, okay, just go that way. So that person went that way, and it was through all the thorns and the thickets and the brambles, and by the time he reached home, he was all scraped and bloody and miserable. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, it's like that. If we follow Guru, we can follow the safe path, easy path, chanting, dancing, feasting, wonderful philosophy. But if we follow Guru, an unqualified person, how to live in this world or how to get back to the spiritual world, it will be very difficult and we won't make it. So how do we follow Prabhupada? What was Prabhupada doing in this world? He was chanting Hare Krishna and he was distributing the chanting of Hare Krishna. Basically, as Lord Chaitanya's representative. He would sit down in the park in Thompson Square Park, or he'd sit in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco with his bongo, and he'd chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Nama Nama, Hare. That's the perfect path back home, back to Godhead. When I was younger, there were so many so-called opportunities, so many gurus were coming, so many swamis. Even today, you go to India, there's so many so-called gurus and swamis and swaminis, they call themselves, you know, giving a so-called process of, but no. This is the Yuga Dharma. In every age, there's a unique process for the people of that age to transcend and go back to the spiritual world. And we know that in this age, that process is chanting Hare Krishna. There's other things that can help, but we solely rely on the chanting of Hare Krishna. For example, in his Padyavali, Rupa Goswami mentions a process, a technique, by which you can become purified. I love the verse. Personally, I love the verse. I'll read it to you. A tulsi leaf offered to the lotus feet of a Nishinga Shalagram destroys the sin of murder. Water that has washed the lotus feet of a Nishinga Shalagram destroys the sin of theft. Foodstuff offered to the Nishinga Shalagram destroys the sin of drinking liquor. Sincere surrender to the Nishinga Shalagram destroys even the sin of adultery with the wife of the spiritual master. Association with devotees of the Nishinga Shalagram destroys the sin of offenses to devotees. These are the extraordinary glories of the Nishinga Shalagram.
Yay.
And by the grace of my bosom buddy, Charam Rapu, I have the best Nishinga Shalagram in creation. I won't go into detail, but there's a whole history. That Shalagram's been worshipped for millenniums. Probably while I'm still here. Yeah. So I'm very indebted. And yesterday I gave him the Lord of his heart, a beautiful Govardhan Shila that looks just like a little mountain like that, the thousand peaks. So this is love. It was hard. I was very attached to that Govardhan Shila, but Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, if you're going to give something, it should be something that you're attached to show your love. So we gave it to Jarama. He's a better devotee than me. So this is, you know, we can become freed of all these horrible sins by worshipping a Shalagram Shila. But how many of you have Shalagram Shilas? Maybe a few of you. So that doesn't work. But Kali Kali Nam Rup Krishna Avatar. The incarnation of the Lord in this age is not the Shalagram, with all due respect, but it's there in that mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And you know, worshipping the Shalagram every day, you have to get up. It takes me, 2 hours, I'm sure, when Charama does his puja, when he's free, because he's a working man. You know, you have to assemble the paraphernalia, you have to get it clean, you have to prepare the Yajamaniam, the Madhuparkam, everything, the fruits, the flowers, the tulsi, then you do the puja, you focus, and then you clean up. It takes some time. But anyone can sit down on his bees anywhere on the earth and just chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And the result is immediate. You become happy because, as we said in the lecture yesterday, you're associating with Krishna in the form of his name, and Krishna is what? The reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, again, in Padyavali, I love Padyavali, now that we have become Your devotees, Krishna, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival within our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. Let's be honest, you know, the devil tries to tempt us sometimes. But you can resist that temptation. You just let the Lord dance on the tip of your tongue. Prabhupada said when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna's dancing on the tip of your tongue. So this Hare Krishna mantra that we're passing on to you, this is your greatest fortune today. But when you have a great treasure, you have to protect it from thieves. So there are thieves that will rob us of this treasure of Krishna consciousness, and they're sitting still in our hearts. It's called lust, anger, and greed. Because sometimes we see devotees fall. Because these enemies are enemies of our desire to become Krishna consciousness. Lust, anger, and greed, they're still there. So we have to protect this treasure chest of Krishna consciousness. So how do you protect the treasure from lust, anger, and greed? You promised a vow. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and gambling. That will protect you from the influence, because those things are very much connected to the material energy. So if you stop them, it's like building a fence around your treasure chest. You stop those activities. It's not those activities, it's not by those activities, that by that vow that we become Krishna conscious. It just makes us civilized people. It makes you a civilized lady or gentleman. To stop those sinful activities. These devotees don't even know what they are. Like Prabhupada said, in my lifetime, I never knew it was sin. And I never forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This is our Prabhupada. He said, in my life, I never knew it was sin. And I never forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. They don't know it is sin. Maybe they've heard about it, they see it in school, they don't participate in it. And in their hearts, they always also want to remember Radha and Krishna. That's why they're sitting here today. So we have to be very careful. We're like in India, we see they plant a little creeper and they build a big fence around it. Everywhere on the roads, they plant these little seedlings, you know, of trees, and there's a gigantic fence. I said, what are you building a gigantic fence around a little creeper? Because the cows come, the goats come, they're everywhere. The dogs come, they pass you. So we build this fence. So we have to build a fence around our this valuable treasure we've been given today. Therefore, we take our vows with full sincerity, Gurudev, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. They protect us, these four regulative principles. So this is the process in summary. Of course, we're all practicing it, and we're especially indebted to our gurus who are enlightening us in this process. Meaning, Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, our initiating spiritual master, and our instructing spiritual masters, our Shiksha Gurus. One may have one Diksha spiritual master, but there may be other personalities, even God brothers, in this movement. You know, Vaisheshika Prabhu for me is like a Shiksha Guru, Jayadvaita Swami, Rinandan Maharaj, they're I'm a speaker, but I'm a tiny figure in comparison to them. So I take inspiration from their lectures. I hear from them. I have examples of kirtan, like Varahari Prabhu. Every time he chants, it melts the heart. Bibi Govinda Maharaj, Kadambakanana Maharaj, you think of these personalities. They're inspiring me. So they're like Shiksha Gurus. So we have Prabhupada, we have our Diksha Guru, and we have other gurus who inspire us. We're indebted to all of them. You could say they're God-sent. Ramanda Brahmatikon Bhagavan Jeev. And as such, because there are deliverers, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we shouldn't take them casually. At least we should remember them three times a day. I have one God brother, Parthasarathi Goswami from South Africa. You don't hear about him much. Very deep rasic devotee. He did Sankirtan for many years, but now he has a disease. So for many years he's incapacitated. So he just does bhajan. In his home in South Africa. But every day he does Guru Puja. to Srila Prabhupada. Then he has another guru puja. All these sheikhs are gurus, there's 20 of them. His godbrothers, different godbrothers and godsisters whom he emulates, he does. I was amazed. That this is the proper attitude, to have this faith in our spiritual masters. I asked Tamal Krishna Goswami one time, what is the most important quality in a disciple? Because a disciple must imbibe many good qualities to be a good servant of his spiritual master. I said, what is the most important quality a disciple can have? He immediately shot back, Guru Nishtha, faith in the spiritual master. He's our deliverer. And we have many spiritual masters. So therefore, to remind us of how important that person or those personalities are as our teachers in life, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says we should remember them three times a day. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. By the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any... Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master. At least three times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Of course, when you get Brahman initiation, in the Gayatri Mantras, there are two Gayatri Mantras on which you focus on the Guru. And you could chant Gayatri three times a day. But not out of regulation, out of love. We should remember those persons who are contributing to our progress out of this miserable world to the spiritual world where every word is a song, every step is a dance, and there's a festival every day. So, there's another personality, Kashishwara Pandit, who we quoted earlier. He also gives us a wonderful way, a means to meditate on our spiritual masters. In his yet unpublished Gaudiya Vaishnava Diksha Vidhi. And I'd like to conclude with this meditation that he gives us on our spiritual master. He writes, the form, and this is so lovely, the form of the guru, he says, is described as follows. The forehead of the guru is the only source of satisfaction for a disciple. The eyes of the guru are the treasure house of all the secrets of the three worlds for a disciple. The nose of the guru is the pride of knowledge for the disciple. The lips of the guru are the gates of knowledge to all the Vedas. The tongue of the guru is the nectar pot of Dhanvantari. The neck of the guru is renunciation from the material world. In the eyes of the disciple, the shoulders of the guru are the grace of devotional life. The chest of the guru is the abode of the divine couple. The hands of the guru are the source of all blessings. The middle part of the guru is the ocean of bliss. This is how the disciple is meditating on his guru. The thighs of the guru is the strength of bhakti. The lotus feet of guru is the Chintamani gem. The toes of the guru are like millions of pilgrimages. The toenails of the guru are the moonlight of love for Krishna. The shadow of the guru is the eternal protection of the disciple. The dust from the guru's lotus feet is the opulence of the 14 worlds. The remnants of his prasad is the nectar of Krishna's lips. The cloth used by him is the fortune of the disciple. The words from the guru are the only shelter of the disciple. And Kashishwara Pandit concludes his work. He says that on the blessed day in which one is accepted as a disciple by the spiritual master, at the conclusion of the ceremony, and we'll give this prayer of Kashishwara Pandit to all of you later today. At the end of the ceremony, the disciple should pray as follows. My dear most spiritual master, with no support in this world, I was falling into the ocean of great sorrow and lamentation. You are my only shelter now. You kindly took my hand and placed me in the boat to Vrindavan, where one finds divine love for Radha and Krishna. My guru, my shelter, my only savior, from this day forth, I am yours. Make my body your ashrama, my hands your instruments, and engage all my senses in your service. Please kill my false pride, destroy my material desires, beat my uncontrolled senses, smash my bad fortunes, and deliver me to the son of Maharaj Nandra. I offer my respects to you again and again and again. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So wonderful, isn't it? Consciousness or philosophy. We have the best philosophy, the best food, the best teachers, the best books, the best way to dress, the best holy places. Everything's best, best, best. So I'm going to sit there in the chair now, and we'll call the initiates forward. They'll say their vows, and I'll give them their beads and their amazing names. And I expect trumpets and violins and oboes and the whole orchestra. When they get their name, you... Because it's such an important day for all of them. And then after that, we'll have the yajna. And then a little break this afternoon and a kirtan mela this evening from 5 till 8 o'clock. Woo! Shri Harinam Prabhu Ki.